hungry for sport. Greg Denham. For Supergroups, Kubota Excavator Finance deals on now.
It's always great to catch up with Greg Denham. Denham, good morning.
G'day, Kev. How are you? Look, they tell me Fife, we know he's that good, but they tell me he got votes last week during the bye. That's how good he is. I think that obviously if Collingwood are to win tonight, they do need to control him.
Who gets the job on Fife?
Oh, I would have thought Crispy's pretty much since McCaffrey's gone down. He's been unbelievable since he's come down from Brisbane. I mean, I had to look twice. I honestly thought at the start of the year, I don't really know if this bloke can play, but he's been absolutely sensational. And I would have thought that Goldsack probably would pick up Fife when he goes forward. There are two moves, I think, that Buckley will be considering. It's a big game. It's a really interesting game, Kevin, because, as you know, Fremantle are the stingiest team in the competition. Despite the fact that they've had heaps and heaps of defenders out this year, they've conceded the least points of any club this year. They're only one of two clubs, the other one being Sydney, that haven't let an opposition kick 100 points or more this year. So that's been good, especially considering their predicament. The other thing that's really interesting is that Collingwood scoring's gone up 3.5 goals this year compared to last year. So, I mean, they're averaging 101 points a game. So you know that they're flying forward.
Is that because they've played a lot of sides below them?
Oh, look, don't worry about the draw. I'm just giving you a fact.
They beat the Giants last week.
For halfway. Yeah, but
the only side that they'd actually played that was above them at the time, I think, and was in the top eight. And they beat the Giants. But the Giants, of course, lost their two key defenders and their ruckman during the course of the game. And Cloke kicked, four goals in the last quarter?
Four goals when those two boys went down. But
so has that helped their scoring, you think?
Oh, well, obviously.
Or you think just the improvement in their players?
Both. You know, I think you can't just say because they've had a fairly cushy draw in the first part of the year that's why. But no McFarlane. Freo tonight have got to rely on McFarlane and young Pierce, who's only played about four games, to stop Cloke, without Johnson, Dawson and possibly Silvani. So it's going to be a really, really interesting game. I think myself that the key to the game will be obviously Sandilands versus Witts because no Grundy, which is a huge loss for Collingwood.
Well, no one beats Sandilands.
And I think that Nathan Brown probably played the best game I've ever seen him play last time they played against GWS. He was absolutely sensational on Cameron. He's going to have to be at his absolute top because I reckon that Pavlich has been playing. If he's not tired, he's been sore. He has been very ordinary in Freo's last couple of games. And I think with the break last week, that's when you'll see Pav fire up and probably kick five or six.
Well, Freo got beaten by the Tigers over there. And then I saw Freo play against the Gold Coast Suns up at Metricon. And they really struggled against the Suns. I know the conditions weren't great up there on that particular day. But the Suns not travelling well at the moment. And they were a little bit disappointing up there. It was only again Fife after half time. They started him on the forward line. He kicked a couple of goals in that third quarter that fired up the Dockers. And in the end, they won by 7 points with even a kick after the siren. They kicked a behind. So they just got out of that game. The other thing about the Dockers, Greg, I know that you're the media manager for Fremantle.
Oh.
But they don't put sides away, do they? They always give the opposition a bit of a chance because they're not a high-scoring side. They don't put sides away.
Oh, look, they can be a high-scoring
side.
Very
rarely, though. It's pretty rare for the Dockers to put sides away.
Kevin, you know, they beat Geelong by 44 points earlier in the year. They had a 73-point win over North Melbourne in round eight. Now, that's only just over a month ago. So
usually, Greg, they don't put sides away. They can dominate a game, but sides can always be within striking distance, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a fair call, I suppose, because I think that at a few times I've seen this year, they've conserved a bit of energy late in games. So that'll be interesting tonight. They'll have to be on their mettle all the way through. But I just think, I think they had a bit of a flat spot. You can't be up all year. Like, go back a month. They weren't that good against Adelaide. They got across the line there at Adelaide Oval. Then I think Richmond got a hold of them when they were cherry ripe. Gold Coast, it was a shocking day. I'm not even going to sort of take that into consideration. But Richmond got them at the right time. I think the bye, one team particularly would have enjoyed going to the bye last week was Fremantle. I think they'll be freshened up tonight. The fact that it's in Perth, Thursday night, that's almost like Friday night footy in Perth. That's the highlight of the week over there. I think Collingwood are going to find it very, very tough to win, despite the fact that our main producer thinks they're certain.
Yes, so you're not a true believer as far as the Pies are concerned.
Not tonight, I'm not.
Okay, are you a true believer? Are they a top eight side, Collingwood, or top four side? Are they a realistic chance, maybe even of pinching the premiership? 9429 1116 0433 98 1116 I do want to ask you also about Thursday night football. Now, I like Thursday night football. Maybe towards the end of the week, you go home and you know, wintry conditions. You sit down, you light the fire, and have a bit of tea. Then all of a sudden, you know, the footy's on. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a winner. I'd just like to ask the fans, do they enjoy Thursday night football? Because I would think Thursday night football, come the media rights, Greg, are going to be very, very important to the AFL. Who knows? We may even have, you know, just a designated station might just do Thursday night football.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think we could easily accommodate probably at least 10 games a year. That's once a fortnight on Thursday night. And probably interstate. I quite like the fact that a strong Melbourne club goes interstate, or has been the case lately, plays Thursday night. It just gives it a bit of a... I read somewhere recently this morning, perhaps, that Thursday is more of a weekend game rather than Sunday and Monday, isn't it? I mean, you sort of get that feel. You're moving into the weekend. Mm-hmm. I know players like to play earlier in the round better than a Sunday or a Monday. So, no, I think it's an absolute winner. I really do, and I hope that there's more of it next year.
As we go to the break, Greg, we'll come back and we'll take your calls, 9429 1116. You can always set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind in sport? I was reading today where St Kilda has to toss up between Snyder and Sinclair to bring...
Well, they've done that already.
Okay, Snyder. They've gone with Snyder, haven't they?
Yep.
Okay, so Sinclair has to go back onto the rookie list.
Yes.
I'd like to ask the fans, why do we, in this day and age, have a rookie list player and those who can't play in the seniors? Surely we've got to a stage, Greg, that if you're on a league list, or you're one of the players who's on any list at an AFL club, if you're good enough to actually play and be in the senior side, why shouldn't that player be elevated to play in that side? If Sinclair's good enough to play in the senior side, why can't he play in the senior side?
Well, he should be able to, but that's a rule, Kevin.
Well,
what you're saying is let's have bigger lists. Now, if the AFL and clubs want to have bigger lists, that's fine. I mean, I don't even think the rookie draft is significant now. What it is just an extension of the national draft, really. And there's rules there that say you can't play. You can be upgraded earlier in the year, perhaps, or when you're on a long-term injury list, or at the halfway mark of the year. There's not that many ways you can actually play senior footy.
But if you're down at the club, you're one of the players there, I can understand in terms of the salary cap where, you know, rookie-listed players are not going to get as much and all that sort of stuff. So you got you know, tiers within the football club. You've got layers. But
yes.
Why not, if the player is good enough, he should be able to play in the seniors. Now, McKernan's another one. I reckon the Bombers would have been playing McKernan at different stages, except he's a rookie player as well. Now, after this bye, you can elevate one of those rookies up onto the list. But it seems to me that it's odd in 2015 that you have all these bunch of players down at a football club, yet some of them you can't play.
Yeah, it is odd, and I think that rule it is going to be looked at by the AFL. But I think that it's part of the system now, and it's part of that is all to do with club list management. And if you're not managing your list properly and doing
that, but that's
that,
now. I know list management's now where you've got a rookie list, but generally the rookie list is someone who doesn't quite make, you know, your final list, senior list, or it might be someone who's you're taking a chance on. He may have had injuries, or he may be a little bit older. You bring him into the club.
That'd be in Schneider's case.
Might be an international
Premiership player, Schneider. And he was put on the rookie list because to make way for younger kids to come onto the primary list. So I think there's a...
In the old days, Greg, if you had if you're on the list of the senior side... And
you had 52
playing,
or whatever.
52.
Yep.
Anyone could play.
Yep.
You could even bring up a kid from the under-19s if you wanted to in those days and put him straight into the senior side. Now, sides did that if they wanted to. But it seems to me in this day and age... why you've got a player who wants to play senior football, is good enough to play senior football, get more money, by the way, because you'd be playing senior football, can't play. It seems odd to me. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls, 9429 1116. You can set the sporting agenda. And also, best caller picks up a double pass for the great game coming up between Hawthorn and Essendon this Saturday, 9429 1116. Luke is in Cranbourne. G'day, Luke.
Hey, KB, how are you?
Luke, going great. Thanks for joining us along with Greg.
That's all right. I want to talk about Thursday night footy and the same as Sunday night footy. Hey, Greg, you say you want to see a lot more of it. Tell me this, what time do you get out of bed, mate?
Pretty early, pal. What about you?
Oh, mate, I get out of bed at 3:30. I don't even see the bounce of the ball on Thursday. I have to take a day off for Richmond St Kilda at Etihad on Sunday, 4:40 start, because I won't be able to get to work. Like, I'll get to work the next day, but I'll be too tired. I have to take an annual leave day. It's crap, mate. Kids
Look, I understand, Luke, but I think you'd be in the minority. Not that many people get up at 3:30 in the morning, and I feel sorry for you, and I'm sorry about that, but I think for the majority of football fans, Thursday night's a ripper.
You get up about 4 o'clock every day, Greg, don't you?
I do.
You go for a walk?
I do, and I...
Around Albert Park Lake?
And I don't go around. I go down the beach, but I got to get up early to keep up with the news.
Luke, that's a note from Luke. He doesn't like Thursday night football, and he doesn't like 4:40 games on a Sunday as well. Paul's on the road. G'day, Paul.
Hello.
G'day, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, Kev. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Look, just a quick one.
Yes.
You might not remember that I had to tag you and Barney Matthews when we played those Richmond and Hawthorn.
So is this Paul Feltham, is it?
It is, mate.
Oh, g'day, Paul.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Well, but Paul, don't you think... every player can be limited, and if you let a player just run around like Fife does, without everyone just playing their own game, then Fife is likely to just tear you apart. But do you agree that all players are taggable, and you should have someone to try and limit these star players?
Without a doubt, the great Ronald Dale Barras said to me before the first time I had to pick up number 29, he said to me. Now listen, there's one thing you got to do. You check your ego at the door. When you come in and get changed, leave your ego with your clothes. You got to accept that this guy's a much better player than you. So just get opposite him all the time and let him take you to the football. So in other words, if you're running towards your goals, the tag has got to be 5-10 metres opposite you and running towards you. That way, you're always running to the guy that's trying to pick you up rather than the guy behind you and trying to catch you. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I do, Paul. I just feel, Paul, that, you know, all this talk lately about Fife, go head-to-head with Fife because, you know, you can't play on him, he's untaggable, I think he's absolute rubbish. And I can remember Paul playing on me and telling me up as well. Good on you, Paul. Thanks for that. Graham's in Heidelberg. G'day, Graham.
Sydney Thunder announced overnight that they're going to move all their BBL games from the Olympic Stadium to Spotless Stadium, where GWS plays. Is it time for the AFL now to sort of end their experiment with ANZ Stadium, Olympic Stadium, and just make sure Sydney play all of their games at the SCG, including their finals?
I think that they have to play their finals now. I think they've ended the ANZ
agreement.
I think for finals, Graham. I think they'll still play, as far as I know, at ANZ during the year.
What, two or three games?
I think so. But there was something earlier in the year. But I don't think that they have to play their finals there. If it's not from this year, it's certainly from next year, I reckon. So
we'll see. We'll check that out. Something in the back of my mind agrees with you there, yeah. Greg, that the relationship between ANZ Stadium and finals was either come to an end or was coming to an end. So we'll try and check that out for you, Luke. Graham, yep. I should say. Michael's in Northcote. G'day, Michael.
Morning, guys. Look, I've got a couple of way of thinking like you. In today's way the game is ruled, if an umpire gets it horribly wrong and it costs the team a goal, I think it should be reversed or taken off the score. I mean, they've got enough information and with the third umpire up there saying, well, you got it wrong. Example, the Richmond...
You're talking about free kicks... wrong free kicks in front of goal, or are you talking about just score errors?
Yeah, a free kick that ends up in a goal-scoring opportunity that's horribly wrong, completely missed the mark. I think it should be taken off and say, no, bad decision, take it off. You should be able to do that. In a one or two or three goal game, those decisions actually determine the end result.
So, some people would argue then, Michael, if you know someone got a free kick on the half-back line that, you know, even though it didn't result directly into a goal because it was, you know, through four other possessions beforehand. It would be pretty tough, I reckon, to police that, I think, Michael.
Have we only had one game changed by the AFL Commission, the Freo Hawthorn? Is that the only game that we've had changed?
The one down in Tassie.
Tassie, yeah.
Was that Frio and St Kilda, wasn't it? Frio and St Kilda?
Yep.
That's the only time I can ever recall.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
yeah.
A game being, the result of the game being
yep.
altered.
Yep.
That was because the siren didn't sound properly, did it? Or
well,
didn't
no
go
one,
off.
No one heard it.
No
all.
One heard the end of the siren. I don't think you'll get much support for that, Michael. Look, I think with the scoring review, I think if in fact the third umpire can see a mistake was made before they go back and bounce the ball, he can relay that back to the field umpire.
And once
and
it's
they can go
bounced,
back and cancel that goal.
They can. But once it's bounced, I don't
can't.
Think they can change
no,
it after
not once
that.
It's bounced.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Correct.
In November 2014, Sydney signed a 30-year agreement with the SCG Trust to play all its home games and finals at the venue from 2017. Their association with ANZ Stadium will end at the end of 2016, Greg.
Yep, okay.
That's the chosen one.
End of next year, okay.
Has found that out for us. Timmy's in Kensington. G'day, Tim.
Yeah, g'day, KB. How are you, man?
Good, Tim.
Mate, I'm just ringing up. You struck a chord with me before about when you're talking about the rookie draft. I'm a mad Saints fan, and Jackie Sinclair has been a huge shining light for us this year as a rookie player. Wasn't really even expected to play AFL football this year, and he's worked his butt off and got into the side. And even those big wins that we had, if you look back at the replays, you know, when we came from that 55 points down to beat the Bulldogs, Jackie Sinclair was phenomenal in that game. And to think that this kid can't continue to play senior footy because of a rookie rule, it's really going to hamper his progress as a player. And for us fans at the ground, Saints are not as strong as we'd like at the moment, but these young kids are some of the reasons why we go along and watch the footy at the moment. And I just wanted to have a bit more of a chat about that.
Yeah, well, look, I'm thinking that way, Tim. I'd like to get the thoughts of others as well. I mean, if a kid is good enough and he's at your football club and he's able to play senior football, well, then that kid should be able to play senior football. I don't know why. There's a lot of things we're changing the game. We're going back to things that we did in the past
but
that
you're talking
now
as if this
are good
is
for football. And I think one of the good things for football would be that even if you're a rookie because of the pay scale, Greg, but if you're good enough, all of a sudden you play better. Tim said before he didn't expect Sinclair to play seniors this year. Probably no one did at St Kilda. But the fact is that he did and played well.
But he's not the first person that's... You're talking like this is a breakthrough case here because the kid's been really, really good, and he has. But this has been going on for a long time.
No, but
Kevin.
McKernan could have played for the Bombers this year.
Yeah, but it's been going on for 5 years.
Well, change it, Greg. That's what I'm saying.
You can change it, but don't say that this is wrong. Say that clubs should go out to get an expanded list. Call for more clubs. Call for more players on one list at each club, and then you pay the expense.
But you don't have to have the one list. What I'm saying, Greg,
you do.
You might have the two lists like you've got. You might have three lists. You might have players on.
Well, you can have an international list, which is a bit separate.
Doesn't matter what list you're on, Greg. That's the pay scale. Depending
on
what
list.
Well,
they get paid like for.
What I'm saying, Greg, is if you're on a list at a club, irrespective of what that list is, you should be able to play in the seniors if you're good enough.
Get the AFL to change it to one list.
But I want. I will. But I want to get the imprimatur of the fans first. And straight away, Tim's jumped on board. 9429 1116. You think if you're on any list at an AFL club, you should be able to play seniors. 9429 1116. Greg, of course, is always brought to you by the Spread Eagle Hotel. 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. Still there, Greg? It's on the corner of Coppin Street. It's a famous address. That's where he lives. And the big news is that the food is so popular. Upstairs is also open for dinner with private dining rooms available. That's Real Richmond Hospitality. Drop in or contact the Spread Eagle Hotel on 9428 6895.
This is a big play. It's inside 50. It's a mark to Westhoff.
He's marked it.
Westhoff has marked. Justin Westhoff has marked. There's the siren.
Oh, no.
There's the siren. Westhoff has to kick a goal after the siren. Westhoff comes in. He's missed! He has missed! Gold Coast Suns have defeated Port Adelaide at Amy Park. What a performance. What a day for Guy McKenna and his young side.
Matera snapped. He puts it inside.
No.
There's the mark!
After the siren.
Carmichael Hunt's taken the mark. The siren's gone! They trail by 4 points. Carmichael Hunt. Carmichael Hunt has won it for the Suns, and the Tigers have blown it.
Why did we have to play that? What did Paul Roos call it at the time? The worst couple of minutes ever played in the history of the game, the Richmond Football Club. The reason why we played those highlights from the Gold Coast Suns, Greg, is that they're about to play their 100th AFL game. And the Gold Coast fans have nominated the following moments as the club's most significant milestones throughout the first 100 games in chronological order. The first game, Gold Coast versus Carlton at the Gabba. That was round two in 2011. First win, Gold Coast versus Port Adelaide. That was what you've just heard then on the call. Amy Stadium, round five, 2011. First game at Metricon Stadium versus Geelong, which was round 10, 2011. After the Siren victory, Gold Coast versus Richmond and Cairns, round 16, 2012. Jago O'Meara winning the 2013 NAB AFL Rising Star. Gary Ablett winning the 2013 Brownlow Medal. And round 16 in 2014, Gold Coast versus Collingwood, including a crowd record of 24,032 at Metricon Stadium. Now, Greg.
It does seem to have gone quick, doesn't it?
Yes.
We're sort of, what, 4.5 years into the Gold Coast, and boy, those they just feel like yesterday, those.
So that was nominated by the Gold Coast Suns fans. So if you do back for the Gold Coast Suns and you've got another highlight you want to put up, I reckon Gary Ablett getting 53 possessions against Collingwood was a pretty good highlight. But on the back of that, Greg, I was reading today in The Australian, an exclusive story by yourself and Patrick Smith, that the Giants' block to the AFL stadium boycott is the fact that instead of buying Etihad Stadium at the moment, so far it's cost us $130 million for the Giants and the Gold Coast Suns. And it's going to cost up to $200 million, they believe, in the first 5 years to try and keep these two sides going. And even the AFL has acknowledged that it's been a little bit more expensive than they first thought.
Yeah, well, there was a future fund established, obviously, by the AFL, and it was established for two purposes, really. One, to buy an asset, which was Etihad Stadium.
So we can't buy that at the moment because we're paying out too much money
well,
to
the AFL
Gold Coast Suns.
The AFL do think we can buy it out, which would be a blessing for the tenant clubs there, but the clubs are really, really worried that the money is gone, too much money has gone to those clubs and spent on economic hard times for other clubs too, for those two clubs in the northern states. So clubs are quite concerned that they're not getting their share of money that for the times that they're going through at the moment, which is pretty, pretty tough, Kev.
So it's a lot of money. I'm not quite certain whether all the fans would be happy with the fact that, you know, so much money is going to those two new clubs, Greg.
Well, I think the clubs voted. One of the key parts is the clubs voted when to bring those two clubs in on the promise that they'd be self-funding themselves within 5 years.
And that's
I think
not going
now,
to happen, is it?
Well, I don't think. I think the clubs now realise that is not happening.
Gil McLaughlin said yesterday that they're proving more expensive than our broad forecast suggested.
Well, there's two things. One is that we've got a bunch of clubs that really want Etihad to be bought by the AFL so they can get a better stadium deal, and there's a number of clubs, and there's eight clubs that are going to, as we've revealed in Australia in the last couple of weeks, eight clubs that are going to lose money again this year. And there's a heap of clubs that have got a debt now, combined debt, of nearly $92 million. So they are very concerned with the amount of money that the AFL are propping up the two expansion clubs, which could get... And there's a big suspicion there now that it could get worse and worse. And we were supposed to have, what clubs were led to believe, a cash injection or cash injections over the last couple of years to have that future fund, as I said, was there for a sort of like a rainy day, of about $90 million. Well, it's not that at all. There's $63 million in there, and clubs are a little bit concerned.
So about $30 million short, Greg?
Well, yes, exactly
on
right.
Projections.
Exactly right. And most clubs, the suspicion of clubs is that that's all gone to Gold Coast and Greater Western Sydney, because the footy costs, particularly since their formation, just keep going up and up and up.
Let's take some more calls. Pete joins us from Essendon. G'day, Pete.
G'day, Kev. Look, mate, I want to throw my support behind you, mate. If you're good enough to get on the rookie list, you should be good enough to play. Now, I can't see what... The reason for the rookie list is only for payment-wise, so why shouldn't you be able to play?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a payment list because you're not quite certain whether they're going to be good enough for your side. But if they prove you're wrong, Pete, what you're saying is let them play.
Exactly, Kev.
Ask the fans, who's on your rookie list at the moment that you've seen that you reckon would be terrific if you could actually, you know, play them? in the senior side. Remember when Richmond supporters used to ring up about Anthony Miles dominating playing in the VFL, saying, why can't he play for the senior side? Why doesn't, you know, Dimmer pick Anthony Miles? Because he was on the rookie list at that stage and they couldn't get him on, Greg.
Yeah, exactly.
So how stupid is that?
Well, it's been stupid for a long
time.
Well,
we've got to fix it. Dave's in Langwarrin. Good day, Dave.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good, Dave. You?
Good, thank you. Look, when I listen to this show, all I hear is Kevin Bartlett saying we've got to change rules and change rules.
No, you don't. And I want to know, too, also, sorry to butt in, Dave, where's Trout? All you hear is Kevin Bartlett wrapping up the Richmond Footy Club and his mates, and you know what? He's the early crow. So, sorry, Dave. There are other things that Kevin does say that are silly.
Continue,
yeah,
Dave.
Fair enough. Anyway, look, the only people to blame here are the St Kilda Football Club. They had an option to put Snyder on or the young kid, and they've gone to an older player who's not going to be there next year. They're not going to gain anything out of it. So why do it?
Well, yes, but don't forget the St Kilda Footy Club also had the option of drafting the boy in the national draft too and not putting him on the rookie list later like every club did. So, I mean, that's what I say. List management is very, very important, and they've opted to put Schneider on here. Exactly right.
Agree with that, Dave, but what I'm saying is they should not have to make that decision. If the player is on the list there, whether it be Snyder, whether it be Sinclair, whether it be a Miles, whether it be a McKernan, if that player is good enough to play, we should be able to play that player. It just seems silly to me. As our previous caller said, I mean, it's a payment list. It's to keep payments down so you fit within your salary cap. Now, if that payment list is still there, and some of the SMSs are saying, look, there's certain Sinclair would probably want to play seniors regardless of what he got paid. Even if his pay didn't change from a rookie-listed player, let the kid play. Yeah. Think about it when we come back after the break.
Yeah, we'll make those assessments as in the ensuing days. You know, we're quietly confident.
When you don't bring effort or you don't play to what the instructions are, and that you have to find out what the reason is.
He's in the mix, stayed in the mix because of what he did today, so it was quite encouraging.
Thursday's selection day in the AFL. Who's in? Who's out? Who have you lost patience with? Call 9429 1116 to join the match committee and pick your team's best side.
Who should be in and who should be out? You head up the match committee, 9429 1116 204. 3398 1116. If you want to chat about who's in and who's out with Greg, shoot down to the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. Got their cosy open fireplaces down there. They've got all the footy on the four big screens. Shoot down to the Spread Eagle Hotel on 9428 6895. Greg, who should be in and who should be out?
Oh, look, I guess Will Langford had probably come back this week. I think he was pretty good in the twos. He's had a couple of games back. Hawthorn v Essendon, it would be the ideal time to bring him back. We'll know today whether Ablett's in. I think that Gold Coast will probably bring back Ablett, May and Bennell as well. So I think they'll be hard to beat against Carlton. But the forgotten man of footy, I reckon he is. And he's been a beauty over the years. Only one Brownlow vote in all his career, Dale Morris. His whole career, Dale Morris. He's an All-Australian back in 2008. He must be close. I'm not so sure he'll play in the next 2 weeks, but he's got to be close. And I hope he comes back because he's been the backbone of that back line, so to speak, for years.
I saw Carlton last week win, of course, over Port Adelaide. No Jamison. He'd be pretty handy if Jamison could come back for that game against the Gold Coast Suns. Some of the SMSs are saying, who's played the most games for the Gold Coast Suns? Well, their record holder for the Gold Coast Suns is Jared Harbrow.
Okay.
He's played 87 games. Trent McKenzie has played 85 games. And Dion Prescio has played 81 games. But at the moment, the former Bulldog, Jared Harbrow, is the clubhouse leader for the game's record holder at the Gold Coast Suns, who are celebrating their 100th game against the Blues. And maybe Jamison can come back in for that game. Brett is from Narnagoon. G'day, Brett.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Brett.
Good. Rookie listed players. Now, Collingwood have had Jack Frost on their rookie list. He's still on their rookie list. Now, I don't understand why you'd have someone of that key defender on a rookie list when he should be on our main list.
Well, I think that he's been upgraded, hasn't he? I don't think he'll drop down again this year. There's no reason to do that. I'm not sure when he was nominated at the start of the year, I think. And then you can upgrade one half at the halfway
mark
of the year.
Which is now. So therefore, there'd be no chance of him going back now, Brett.
No,
but the point Brett is making, that if it had been earlier in the season and, you know, people were fit and well, then maybe he wouldn't be playing.
I know. I think that there was a provision for him to play. I don't think that he went onto the list because there was a long-term injury. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think so. But he is a good player, Brett. I will say that. He's a very, very cool player.
We're told he was elevated to the senior list in 2014, when Ben Reed was placed on the long-term injury list. So he played every game last year. Scott's in Clifton Springs. G'day, Scotty.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Greg, congratulations on the win last week, the Eagles over Richmond, like I said they would.
Spot on.
The prize recruit gave up six goals on his own, three to turnovers.
Where's Trout?
Who's that? Who's the prize recruit?
Rance, I think his name is. The one I didn't rate. So you had any of that humble pie yet, Greg?
No, Kevin's about to have some. I reckon he's heading down to the Spread Eagle towards the end of the week to have a little bit of humble pie. I reckon your tipping rate on Richmond, I think you've tipped them once or twice in the last five, once when they've lost, and you've tipped them to win and they haven't.
It's reverse psychology just to help club, Greg.
Right, okay.
When they're struggling, it's reverse psychology. Okay. Must say this, though, Scotty, that the West Coast Eagles, I know you're obviously a great supporter and therefore, you know, might be one of those cheerleaders for your club, irrespective of how they're going, win, lose or draw. But
Coach of the Year, Adam Simpson, do you think?
Well, the Premiership coach is the Coach of the Year. But well, I must say, Scotty...
Not on our show.
West Coast Eagles have surprised me, Scotty. They're playing a lot better than I thought they were capable of playing. They've got, you know, to do what they've done without, you know, McKenzie and Brown, without Jack Darling for a lot of the year. Nat Nui's starting to play really well now. Gaff's had a terrific season. People like Maston, who you've bagged on this program, Greg.
Yes.
Having a very, very good year.
I have to take that back.
Very good year. Wellingham, who last year was hopeless for him when he played. He's come back. He's playing some good football this year.
Shepherd's a bloke that I thought, oh, God, it was a make or break year this year, playing very, very well.
Critters has been fantastic again. Shuey's been good. Yo's been outstanding.
Imagine
outstanding.
If you were still at Brisbane.
So I must say, Scotty, that I expected the Tigers to beat the Eagles last week. I think the Tigers gave the Eagles too much space for starters. Didn't put enough pressure on them. Just zoned off them far too much. And, you know, their skill level has gone up this year, the Eagles. And they hit targets and they kicked early goals and got confidence. So well done to the Eagles last week, Scotty. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your calls. Frank's going to be the first cab off the rank. Some of the SMSs are saying Coach of the Year isn't always the Premiership Coach. Al Clarkson has never won Coach of the Year. Well, he's certainly won three of them because the Premiership Coach each year is announced as the Coach of
the
Year.
That's the AFL Coach of the Year, Kevin. We give the SEN Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year. So Alistair Clarkson's won three of them as a Premiership Coach. Frank's in one turner. G'day, Frank.
G'day, Kevin. G'day, Greg.
G'day, pal.
Good to hear you. Keeping KB on his toes this morning. That's good. I want to remind you about a player that was on the rookie list who basically ended up playing some real blinders of games, and it was a big kerfuffle then, was Damien Peverill. Remember when he first seen and all the kerfuffle that was over with Essendon trying to get him into their side, and it was just an absolute... I thought we were going to sort all this type of thing out, but obviously... like with St Kilda, I feel sorry for St Kilda because, like the same situation, they've discovered a good player and they can't basically utilise them. I think any side outside the eight should be have the exemption to be able to pick up these type of players.
Oh, well, that's a different point. Any side outside the eight. The eight does change a lot, though, Frank.
Yes, it does. Look, I think any player, Frank, should have the opportunity to play, but that's a good example was Damien Peverill going all the way back when he broke into that very, very strong Essendon side. Don't forget, we've got a double pass to give away. And Pete in Essendon, give us a call back because you're off to see the Mighty Hawks take on the Bombers. And don't forget, you get your seats from afl.com.au. And this big game's on Saturday from 1:40 p.m. at the G. So clashes between these fierce rivals have a habit of producing some great, great moments.
See you, pal. Dockers for mine tonight.
Coming up after the break, Robert Craddock's going to join us, leading cricket scribe.